Croeso, and welcome to Tales of Wales, the pod that never fails to put the lead in your pencil, the scotch to your bonnet, the sting to your ring, the singe to your minge, the worry in your heart. It's me, Frankie, and I'm joined by my ward of a boy, my warty son, my little warthog, my little squealer. Hello, Jack.
To be fair, just for the listeners before this, Frank's went, I've just done the intro. It's a bit mad.
Well, I always forget we're meant to write an intro because I write my notes, but I never write an intro. So when you say, oh, have you got an intro for tonight? I'm like, no. And so often it ends in me squealing and doing some sort of weird boxer.
I was wondering what the hell you're on about me. And it was like the singe to your minge. And I was like, it just got better from there when you said, my warty boy, my warthog.
I started off writing lead in my pencil. I thought, okay, what else can I go with for lead in my pencil?
I did like, I liked lead in my pencil. I was like, great little phrase. And then when it was, yeah, what was it? The singe in the minge.
The sting to your ring.
Sting on your ring. Yeah. It's very, very good.
Well, it's all gone now, so I can't remember what the rest of it was. But just rewind. Just rewind, have a listen.
Rewind if you liked it. Just listen to the intro over and over again if that's what you're into.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I probably lost a lot of people in the intro, if anything. But those who stuck around, good on you.
Taking the time to download it and then instantly like, ugh, and just turned it off. These guys have gone downhill. Minds are in the gutter.
Well, I was feeling downhill about 10 minutes ago because I only had one bottle of Asahi and I'm not really drinking tonight because I'm taking to work early in the morning, so I'm not going to have much booze. But I was like, oh, well, I'll have a beer whilst I edit last week's episode. And then I was like, oh, well, I'll move on to the rums and just have, you know, a handful of rums, nothing too mad.
The classic escalation. I'll just have a beer. I mean, I'll have a couple of rums as well.
Like, you know, we're both not saying, and we'll probably finish recording about 10-ish instead of 2-ish. So that's all fine. But I definitely wanted to have some drinks. I was like, but I've got nothing in. So I had an old Asahi. And then I was like, okay, to the rum cabinet, to the booze cabinet. And I was like, oh, I've got tequila, which I don't like. I don't want wine. There's bit of like a nice Dead Man's Fingers, like a pineapple one.
Very nice.
So I thought, oh, I could have one of them. But then we got this horrible dark chocolate rum, which we've never really managed to get past much at all.
And is I was that like a cream liqueur type thing?
Well, it's 44%, so it's actually not. Oof, it's not. You know, sometimes they're like
strong
the
one. Yeah,
yeah. The flavoursome ones are usually quite. Like 20%ers, but it just tastes too chocolatey, man. It's so chocolate tense. So I thought, all right, I'll get some oranges, and I've got a surplus of oranges, so I can make a nice chocolate orange, and that might be all right, with loads of ice to try and make it less, to cut through the sickliness with a bit of like acidity. And then I open the cupboard. Open the cupboard, and there is a lovely bottle of rum looking right back at me. Lovely, you are. Kurt Lush.
And I thought, I should check the old cupboard out a bit more often, I should.
So I said to myself, I said, Emma, babe, you'll never guess what. It's a in my cupboard.
In the cupboard out.
There are a lovely bottle of rum right in there. A lovely old carboner. there was a glorious half bottle of Tesco's finest, not Tesco's finest, as in Tesco's own
Tesco's
brand.
Standard rum.
Tesco's lowest. So my dog keeps looking so sad at me because she keeps grabbing a tennis ball and like, are we on? Are we playing?
Are we playing? Is it go time? Not.
Daddy's working. I found a bottle of spiced rum in there. So
beautiful.
The tides have turned. So I feel really a much happier man now. So I was a bit worried about the booze for this. What are you drinking?
I'm on the Stella's. I popped to the shop in the pissing rain to get my Stella's. Let me tell you the story, my mundane beer getting story, for which I'm famed for. So co-op next to me, right? They deliver if you do like a, they got like an hour slot or whatever, and it costs a bit more. It's like maybe cost you probably about five or more than like walking to the shop yourself. But because it was pissing it down all day today, I was like, I'll pay a fiver for the convenience, no problem. So you got to pay, spend £15 minimum. So I got myself a box of Carlin, being on Trent's Finest, of course.
Yeah.
And then I got I got four pack of, is it Camden's Shandies or something like that? Ooh. They're called, or Camden Tops, they're called.
Well, is it Camden like, Hells? But with,
yeah, it's Camden's, but with like, it's like a pre-made like shandy. It's only like 3% or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll try them. They're like a bit of a, it's like a cross between a cider and a lager. I'll try.
You
try
don't mind a shandy, them. Do you?
I quite like a shandy these days, yeah.
I don't like them.
Especially if I'm suffering. I want like to ease myself in. But yeah, I thought, oh, that would be nice. And then the delivery slot comes about 3:30, knock on the door. A man, I open the door, the man there tries to hand me two bottles of red wine and is like, and looks at me as if like, there you are, there's a job well done. And I was like, oh, this, I didn't order this. And he was like, well, your name's on it. And he showed me my name was on it. I mean, I couldn't argue with him about that. But I was like, yeah, I think what I'm trying to say is like somewhere along in, you know, like the process, something has gone wrong.
I don't think so, mate.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, an expert these days.
And he kept like shaking his head and gesturing like, we'll take them. And I was like, mate, there's literally no point in me taking these. No one in this house drinks red wine. And he said, well, what am I supposed to do with it? And I said, I don't know, take it back. I don't need it. I don't want it. And then, yeah, so I had to fucking Henry Hassle co-op then for a bloody refund. They're like, yeah, 5 to 7 business days or something ridiculous like that. So then I had to go out into the rain on my own and then go to the local Asda and get my Stellas. So I'm not very happy. I'm not very happy with the co-op service, if I'm honest.
Well,
you ask for lagers, they give you wine, red friggin' wine.
It is fucking mad that it's cold, like genuinely cold at the moment, and it's rainy, and it's fucking middle of June.
It's June, yeah.
I know. I'm getting married soon as well. I hope it's a bit sunny for that day.
I was gonna ask how you feeling about it, mate. It's not long now, is it? Was it 9 days?
Yeah, we're feeling like not nervous or not like anxious. I think everything's sorted, and the only thing I'm a bit worried about is the weather, which is a bit annoying. Because it's due to rain currently. But, I mean, it's long enough away that the weatherman doesn't know
shit.
Oh,
yeah, mate. They can't tell you what's going on day to fucking day, mate. Let alone 9 days from now, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's got down drizzle and gentle breeze, apparently. That's what it's saying on the website. So we'll go with drizzle and gentle breeze. Yeah, I think hopefully. I'm thinking if it's raining now, it ain't going to be raining then.
Exactly. It's had its fill by then, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just manifest it, mate. If you build it, they will come. Isn't that a thing? That's a phrase of some kind.
I think it's from the Kevin Costner film about a baseball field, Field of Dreams.
So exactly applicable to what we're talking about. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in Costner we trust.
Yeah, if Costner said it, it's good enough for Costner. It's good enough for me.
Hey, do you want to see it? Do you want to test a game to see how good we are at being in tune as two podcasters together?
Go on then.
Because there's a big TikTok trend where two people say a word at the same time, and then you have to match the word by the end. So say if me and you were playing it, and I said seahorse, and you said carrot, and the next word you've got to say, you've got to try and get closer and closer until we end up saying the same word. So the next word I would say then is donkey, and you say horse, because donkey is what would eat a carrot, and you'd say... Am I explaining this very well?
I think I know what you're getting at, yeah. So if you said, like, I don't know,
we both have no idea what you mean. So I'll try to think of a better example now. So I say a word, you say we're both at random, we have no idea what the word's going to be. I say Pepsi and you say football. Yeah. And then the next word I could say is trying to say a word that kind of links these two words together that you will then say
that
itself.
Slowly gets
so
closer to
if we were to jump towards the end, I'd say Messi, the football player, because Messi plays football and he also starred in a Pepsi advert. And if you thought about football, you'd also say Messi, and you know that's the way we could link up with it. So we could edit around the rules around this. But do you want to give that a go to see how in tune?
Go on, then. Let's see what a car crash we turn out with this.
Yeah, and we could edit. We could chop it down if it takes too long. But after three,
so why did you do it? You just go 3, 2, 1, and then we both say a word, a random word.
Yeah.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Eggs.
Limes.
Oh. Okay, so now we've got to say a word that we think the other person will say based on the words we've just said.
Okay.
Three, two...
Oh, God, hang on. Is another countdown? Hang on.
Three...
Wait, let me get my brain in gear.
Three, two, one, chickens.
Round, I don't know.
I was going to go circular objects.
Oh, there we go. We are sort of in sync, I guess.
Yeah, but you got... All right. Yeah. So
I'm assuming we're not meant to take pauses for thinking about it. We're meant to just do it quick.
Yeah. So I said chicken and you said
round.
Okay, so we've got to think of something. Three, two, one, the earth.
Oh, fucking feathers. I don't know. I can't do this. This is too much
Let's
for me.
Try again. Just say a word, right? Three, two, one, dinosaur.
I gotta try and say egg and you've gotta try and get
no
to
so we
lines.
Gotta say a word that's like related somehow to those two things. So I said
fucking hell, I've been thinking that I've gotta try and get you I've gotta try and get to egg and you've gotta try and get to lime, and I kept thinking, why don't I just say egg and why doesn't he just say lime, because he knows what we said.
No, we gotta try and make our next word
and we gotta say the right we
at
we
the
gotta
same,
say the same
time.
Word
yeah
right I got
so
let's
start
it.
Again
okay.
Right, let's start again.
Right, okay. Are we doing different words?
Yeah, different words. Different
okay,
words.
All right. Let me think. Okay, yeah, go for it.
Okay. Three, two, one, teddy bear.
Bacon.
Oh.
Bacon and teddy bear, okay.
Three, two, one, pig.
Pig.
Hey!
Second time's a charm.
I don't know if that's the right way you play it, because that seemed really easy, because we just...
but, we fucking smashed that.
Yeah,
once we got my brain
that.
Around it.
Yeah. I think that's the way you play it, but that if so, that means we're pretty good. Should we try one more round?
Go on then, we'll try again.
Okay.
We've got that way quicker than I thought we would, yeah. So fair
Three,
enough.
Two, one, beer.
Paper.
Three, two, one, mill.
Hops.
Three, two, one, farming.
Wind.
Three, two, one, windmill.
Oh.
Three, two, one, farmers.
Soil.
Three, two, one, pH
farms.
Levels. We're going so far away. So I said pH
okay.
levels, you said
pH
farms.
Levels. Farms, okay.
Three, two, one, agriculture.
Dirt. Oh, you're getting it. So getting so close.
We're getting closer. Three, two, one, minerals.
Seeds.
Oh, that's close.
So close.
Three, two, one, growing.
Plants.
Oh, that's. That's so close. Three, two, one, food.
Flowers.
Oh.
God damn it.
Three, two, one, petals.
Potatoes.
Oh! Okay. I think we're going to be on this forever. Let's quit when we're ahead.
I think that's, yeah. We should have quit when we did it the second time and absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, we realised it wasn't just an easy game. We were just good for one moment.
We just got very lucky, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
that was exciting. My heart is going to
blow. Yeah, I got a bit of a sweat on. A little bit of a brow going on from that. Do you want to tell us about a story about Llinell?
Yeah, before that, should we shout out the Patreon? Our lovely little Patreon, our little family, our Vin Diesel family, the Taylor.
Yeah. Let's give
we,
a little
share. Who are we on this point now?
So I think we're on Lawrence Tester the Jester.
James Jester Tester.
Yeah.
He's our, what are they called? They're not financiers. We're called producers.
Producers.
He's our producer shout out for this episode.
Old Cheers. Lawrence of Arabia himself.
Lawrence of very good. That is very good. Lawrence of Arabia, He's our producer this episode. Cheers for being part of Taylor Lawrence. Lawrence James Tester. Let me think of more funny rhymes for that.
Let me think of a funny rhyme. Isn't that a funny rhyme? Lawrence tested his metal by joining part of the Taylor and he passed with flying colours.
Nice.
Lawrence Fishburne.
That's not a rhyme, but that's a reference.
You should see my face when I'm so strained. Is that Lawrence?
I love just saying the name Lawrence Fishburne as if I was going to go, oh, sick, man. Sick reference.
Tesla?
Lawrence James Tester is the Lawrence James Bester.
Ugh, yeah, you do love a rhyme. I like a rhyme. Hate it.
disgusts me. It's no Lawrence Fishburne, fair enough.
No. I think we peaked at Lawrence of Arabia. I think that's as good as we could get with that.
That was very, very good, to be fair. So there you are. That one's for free, Lawrence.
Well, cheers for saying for free. You pay.
I mean, you pay for it. Yeah, it's for free for everyone else, not for you. So cheers, Loza, for being a Taily member, mate. Appreciate it, fella. Legend. But yes, back to the topic at hand, which, if you've read the title, of course, you will know, is the Llanelli riots, which happened in 1911, and the brutal police suppression that led to said rioting. But first, let me set a scene. Let me paint a picture for you of what was going on at the time. So, the years between 1910 and 1914 are actually known by historians as the Great Unrest, sometimes called the Great Labour Unrest. And as the name suggests, these years were fraught with strikes and essentially like a mass rejection of working conditions from the working class. So this period often gets overlooked a bit because World War One kicked off in 1914, which was right at the end of this Great Unrest, this sort of striking period throughout UK. So as you can imagine, that World War One overshadows a lot because it was quite a biggie, historians say. You know, quite a big
one. Great war, some would say.
Some would say it was a great war. The war to end all wars, they used to call it, didn't they?
Yeah, idiots.
Bloody idiots. But, as I said, the working class at this time, they were pretty fed up. They were striking, and a lot of them standing together against unfair wages, like shocking working conditions. Especially in more dangerous industries like mining. So obviously that's very relevant to Wales. The working class, they came together to form what was called the Triple Alliance, which sounds pretty cool. But it was basically made up of the National Union of Mine Workers, the National Union of Railway Men, and the National Transport Workers Federation, which supported like dock workers, tramway men, road workers, etc. So a lot of these industries came together, so they had a bigger voice against their employers in Britain, and it wasn't too long after the formation of the alliance that the very first railway strike took place. Railway workers up and down the UK began striking on the 17th of August 1911 over low pay and mandatory unpaid overtime, while the railway companies were raking in huge profits. It's a little bit similar to what's going on kind of in the UK in the last couple of years, really. It's like, was it history repeating itself? And in this case, a group of around 500 strikers, they marched on Llanelli train station, where they refused to let any trains pass through. So the rail workers, they were also joined by tin workers and miners, who were actually paid a little bit better than rail workers at the time. But as I said before, all these working class lads had kind of banded together at this point, and so they were all sort of supporting each other. But the strikers, like I said, they were blocking the tracks at Llanelli station, and they did so for the next 2 days, stopping trains from reaching their destinations while also picketing the station to prevent any strike breaking workers from entering. So for those who were like me before I did this research, who didn't really know what a strike breaker is, it's when a company like hires new people to go in and do the work the original employees that a striking would have been doing. So today, for example, if rail workers are striking, they need to fill a gap, or, you know, nurses are striking, whatever, the companies will hire like agency staff to like fill the role really quickly.
Scabs.
Yeah, scabs. So then on the 19th of August, after 2 days of this, a train came into Llanelli containing a number of strike-breaking workers. So it was just full of people that were going to start manning the station and replacing these workers that were striking, basically. By this point, there had already been a number of incidents between strikers and the police, and the Home Secretary at the time, Mr. Winston Churchill himself, he approved the use of army troops to be sent in to keep the peace. So the Worcester Regiment was sent to Llanelli under the command of a guy named Major Bronlow Stewart, which I thought was an incredibly posh name. And this train then, carrying these strike breakers, it rolled into Llanelli, was promptly held up by the striking rail workers. And then this is where Bronny Boy,
ordered his men to use their bayonets to disperse the crowd. This sort of worked, but and the train kind of came to a slow crawl, basically. Instead of stopping outright, because of the army troops dispersing the workers, it could kind of slowly go through the station. But a few strikers caught up with the train, and they actually put out the engine fire, which brought the train to a halt. So the troops, the army troops, caught up to the train, but then found themselves flanked by miners that were allied with the rail workers. The miners began throwing stones at the army, while Brownlow made the local justice of the peace read out the Riot Act.
Oh, yeah.
Which apparently he mumbled very sheepishly. Oh, yeah. To the strikers who were like fucking pelting them with rocks and shouting and stuff.
We've
like
heard
that.
This at the Merthyr Uprising, and we
yeah, we touched on that with I want to say Dick Penderis, not the, is
yeah,
it Dick
yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, we touched on that with that in that episode. But as you can imagine, some boffin reading the law did basically fuck all to turn the strikers away.
Yeah.
Which is when Major Brownlow ordered his men to fire shots into the crowd. So at first, the strikers thought the troops were firing blanks as like a scare tactic, and they didn't really react too much, until that is one of the strikers dropped dead within their ranks, like pissing blood everywhere. Mm. So quite a violent looking spectacle. Two men were actually killed at this point. A guy named John Jack John, who was a 20-year-old tin plate worker. Uh-oh. He was shot dead as part of the crowd. He was apparently striking with the rail workers to support his less fortunate friends. He died from a shot to the chest, which apparently went through his lung. Not a nice way to go. And the second death was a guy named Leonard Warsell. He was a 19-year-old labourer from London who was actually only on leave, incidentally. He was undergoing treatment in the local hospital for tuberculosis, I think it was. He wasn't even involved in the riots, but where he was staying, it like backed onto the train tracks where it was all kicking off. And he was shot in the heart. Oof. As he went out to look out of his back door to see what was happening. Apparently, he was mid-shave when he stopped to go and see what was going on. And then, yeah, opened his back door, poked his head out to see what all the hullabaloo was about, and he got shot in the fucking heart. Oof. That's some absolute stinking luck boy's behalf.
You know, like, minding your business.
Yeah.
Poor fella. If he just kept his beak out.
I know. His biggest, like, maybe if you kept your beak out, mate, you wouldn't, yeah. Wouldn't,
I mean, clearly,
shot, yeah?
Churchill sending in soldiers against his own countrymen. Mm. Well, not his own countrymen. His own, whatever the United Kingdom is. A part of the kingdom that the United Kingdom's part of is despicable. Like, sending the army into...
So heavy-handed.
Yeah.
So heavy-handed.
Which is why so many Welsh people detest him, to send in the army against their own people.
I know, like, English people, they cannot get their tongue out of Churchill's arse a lot of the time, but... Yeah,
sometimes
you
say things that are so visceral, so disgusting. I hate it so much. It's just so...
just a couple of guys having a couple of beers.
Keeping his tongue out of Churchill's... I've pictured like a really long tongue going into his like big, fat, hairy ass. Just fucking... It's too much, man.
It's my Welsh heritage. I'm a vivid storyteller, like the Celts that came before.
The druid of old.
Yeah, well, that's what the Celts around the campfire always used to say. Oh, I could only get their tongues out of the Romans' asses. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think Wales does have overall a different kind of view on Churchill. That he gets very... He gets put on a pedestal.
Well, yeah,
England,
I mean, if you look at his stuff, he's a massive racist.
He's actually quite the bastard.
Yeah, he's really pro-concentration camps, pro-huge amount of racist rhetoric, and awful to the Irish, awful to black people, awful to like gays. Just a really terrible... And he was an awful peacetime leader. He's a pig. He's a really, really, really... And he's been absolutely rose-tinted for people who admire him.
Oh, yeah.
Him.
Did
just
you watch
do
the,
tiny
the,
bit of research?
The biopic with... Gary Oldman did.
No, I can't stomach that bullshit. I can't watch The Crown. I can't watch any of that
it's
stuff.
It's very like, it's very, it doesn't show you any of the bad stuff. You know, I'd almost respect it if it showed what like most people, are multifaceted and they're not all good or all bad. You know, they're very shades of grey. But it didn't show any of the fucking
bad
stuff on it.
Like all populists, like Farage, like Trump, great orator, And well, I say charismatic, I can say great oratory. He fucking mumbled a lot, but if you ever listen to the,
but he could capture a crowd. You know, you can't deny that the bloody the speeches are very captivating. But yeah,
there's also our granddads, our family who won the war, not some fucking fat.
Oh yeah, I can't stand it when you hear that. As people like Piers Morgan and his ilk going, oh, you know, Churchill won the war with rhetoric alone. It's like, no, that's not what fucking happened, is it? He didn't Jesus, Nazis weren't beat because fucking...
That's a very good point,
Churchill said, we'll beat them on the landing grounds. And they went, that's my boots.
So good.
Oh,
999. 999. I can't find a family name.
Van hast du kein Postag?
Ich bin nicht echt Rolli. Sehr gut, ja.
And if you got, if people listening don't get those references, I cannot remember what episode it was, but we, in school in German, we used to watch Ich bin Rita and Ich bin Rolli. So just Google them.
Google it.
Just Google it. Oh, we might put a clip in. I don't know. See if we can be asked in the edit. Anyway, sorry. Back to the matter at hand. So yeah, poor Leonard Worsall. 19-year-old boy shot in the heart for not being able to keep his fucking busy body nose out of anyone else's
shot
business.
Shot in the heart and you're too late. You give Churchill a bad name. I mean, we shouldn't be taking the piss out of some poor bloke.
No,
just having a shave.
Poor fucker. I did think, like, what fucking stinking luck, though, because like, that first guy, John Jack John, you could at least, as tragic as it was, young man, 21-year-old, just trying to do something good.
You said he was a tin man, didn't you?
Tin
his
plate
parents guy. Could not be arsed with his names.
John. Do you know what? John. You know John. Jack. John Jack John. Jack is a nickname. That's not actually anything to do with his real name. He's just called John John.
Really?
Jack was a local nickname of this. Probably thinking, don't call me John John. Just call
John John.
Call me Jack or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny. Sorry,
but like
to you
at least with, but like at least with him, you could say like, all right, he died. Fighting the good fight, so to speak, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Leonard Worsall. Yeah. Oh, just finish up touching up my beard here, my goatee. Oh, what's going on? Oh, what's that fucking shots outside? Oh, dead.
Yeah.
Poor fucker.
Poor bugger.
Poor bugger.
Oh, I'm glad I got over that tuberculosis.
Like, yeah. You know what?
Like everything's coming up Millhouse.
Yeah, coming up to Tlaleshi was the best choice I ever made. What's that?
Oh, poor bastard.
Poor Leonard.
Poor Leonard.
Anyway.
Not Lenny.
But
we've
got to
drop
that
Simpsons quote in here.
We'll have to. Yeah. This is what he died for, really. Isn't it? You know.
Oh, Marge, I'm sorry. I can't make it.
The cooling tank just blew, and they're taking Lenny to the hospital.
Oh no, not Lenny! Not Lenny!
Yeah, so I'm going to have to work late instead of seeing you and the kids, which is what I really want.
Okay, sure. Kids. Turn off the TV. I have some bad news about Lenny.
Not Lenny!
He would have been buzzing that we were talking about him on this pod with such reverence. So the worst part of this actually is not the fact that these two young lads died. The fact was that the negotiations between the rail companies and the unions had actually already been concluded in the union's favour. So they'd actually secured a pay rise for all their work, the rail workers, and better conditions. But the word just hadn't reached Llanelli yet. So they were marching after it was all kind of done and won anyway, which is another layer of sadness.
Yeah.
That guy really
did have bad luck, didn't he?
Oh, Jesus awful luck. Yeah, it only gets, it's just worse and worse.
And he won the lottery that morning.
Bad luck. Yeah, and then in his back pocket they found a lottery ticket and he won the Euro Millions.
And he won the postcode lottery back in London and in Llanelli.
And a supermodel was knocking his door saying, I want to marry you, but he'd never answer.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, news of the deaths spread very quickly. And although the soldiers were, after these incidents, were told to stand down their weapons and restrain the crowds unarmed, along with the police, the local police, the residents of Llanelli broke out into a riot. You see that happen sometimes, you know, like when the London riots, when that kid was fucking brutally shot.
Yeah.
This is a
It's usually more deep-rooted, isn't it? It's like, it's not just one off. It's like, we're fucking pissed off.
Yeah, it's normally the straw that breaks the camel's back, isn't it? So many Llanelli residents, they marched to the station, joining the strikers, where they smashed up the station pretty good. It was later looted, along with the home of the magistrate that requested the military presence in the first place. As I mentioned earlier, Winston Churchill approved it, but it was requested by the magistrate. And then it turned out the magistrate...
And what was Churchill's role again? So he wasn't Prime Minister.
He was the Home Secretary.
Secretary, wasn't he?
Sorry, I should have mentioned that earlier, but yeah, he was Home Secretary. This magistrate actually had... He was a shareholder in Great Western Railway at the time. So that explains like why he was so keen to request... send that request to the Home Secretary, Winston Churchill, to get the army down, because the sooner the strikes ended... the better for him, because he was profiting off these rail companies. So yeah, the locals in Llanelli, they fucking trashed his home and looted it and robbed it and smashed it up as well.
Also, Llanelli, you said a minute ago, I said postcode lottery. Scott Quinnell, who used to do the postcode lottery adverts, is from Llanelli, so it all kind of synergy.
So that was actually a very layered, deep joke. Yeah.
And also, it is the best accent in Wales. So
yeah,
it makes you root for them even more.
Exactly. You can imagine them talking shit to the army. Yeah. So this escalated even more then. So they looted and smashed up this magistrate's house and the Llanelli station. It escalated a bit more then. One of the rioters even strapped some dynamite to a train and set it off.
Oh, I think
it
did to himself. I thought, wow, he's preempted a lot of our...
yeah, modern day fears.
Yeah.
He strapped it to some dynamite to a train, set it off. The thing was, he didn't know that the train was actually transporting munitions.
Oh my god!
So he was like standing back enough to be like, right, I'm clear of the dynamite, but the dynamite exploded the detonators that the train was carrying, and the resulting explosion was fucking enormous.
Fucking hell, this is like a calamity of errors. It's just
absolutely. So this guy got blown up. Along with his dynamite, because it set off these explosives in the train. And the explosion actually injured another three men in the vicinity. They weren't in like direct vicinity, but it was so big that they got fucking smashed with shrapnel. And they all died as well from their injuries a few days later. So, I mean, that's just, again, bad luck. Yeah. Just lots of bad luck here. The differing testimonies that came out after all the dust had settled and the rioting was over, Major Bronlow, he insisted that he didn't order his men to shoot at the crowd, but to shoot in the air, while several strikers that were present, they insist the opposite, saying the troops were very much aiming into the crowd and just fucking blasting away.
How do you shoot someone in the chest when you're aiming at the sky?
I was absolutely aiming at the sky. It must have gone up and gone straight back down. And hit him right in the chest.
No, not Lenny's luck. That's probably true.
He probably got right in the dome, didn't he? Poor Lenny. Yeah. But yeah, either way, a few needless deaths just because companies didn't want to pay the people right. And this wouldn't. This would be the first of many strikes throughout the Great Unrest in those 4 years. We might cover some other ones as well, because like when I was looking up, this is a few popped up, like the coal strike of 1912 and the Tonopandy riots.
I was going to say Tonopandy riots are quite a big one, and that's a big Churchill one, again, isn't it?
Yeah, we might do another one on that, because that was that was too big to put in as a tidbit on here, so we might do a whole episode on that.
We should do a riot series.
Just saying, I'm quite liking this period at the moment we're covering. Don't get me wrong, medieval Wales was my favourite. J'adore medieval Wales. But
I like this stuff.
We've done like the Chartists and then this one. I quite like this, you know, the rise of the working class type thing. It's quite a
like the Chartists.
Maybe we'll do like a rioting miniseries or something like that.
Well, we did have feedback for our Chartists episode where there was riots on our comments because of you being a little rat to that guy in the barber shop.
And
you turncoated on him.
Look, I'm just as flawed as Winston Churchill, all right, mate? I'm not all good. Okay? I'm just human. I got layers and shades of grey myself.
To air is human.
Exactly. I texted you the other day, didn't I? My wife was bloody, telling her this story off the back of when I said it on the pod. And she was, I could tell, she was genuinely disappointed me that I didn't back this little kid up. And I was like, you wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get it. You weren't there. You weren't amongst this Cardiff barber riffraff. You know what I mean? It was fucking dog eat dog.
Dog eat dog, mate.
Yeah, laws of the jungle. Anyway, that's my bit on Little Nelly riots. Anyway,
so that was really good, man. I like that. And I sometimes they're quite good when we don't go on forever and ever, and we just do potted histories.
I definitely didn't know how calamitous it all was. Like, I knew that it was bad, and that the Churchill sending the army and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But poor Lenny. I didn't realise Lenny was just I assumed both deaths were to do with the strikers, you know?
Yeah.
Not just, what's that noise out the back?
Shot in the heart. You know, like Carry On Camping? It's a bit like Carry On Rioting. Just things have gone, all these little mistakes have happened along the way.
Oh. It's all right, Lenny. This one's for you, mate. I'm going to blow up this train with a bit of dynamite. Only a little explosion just to send a message. Boom! Oh, God. Me and three others dead.
Oh, jeez. Well, Dylch and Grandor, everyone. Drop us a review and all that shenanigans. I mean, if you get to the very end of a podcast, I always think you're one of the diehards, so you've probably already done it. But if you haven't, one of the good please guys. Just drop us a quick 5-star review. It helps out massively. And if you enjoyed what we've done so far, that would be very appreciated.
Indeed.
But if nothing else, catch you on the flip side, baby.
See you later.
Ta-da. Mae'r papan yn y cryf